Hey, this is Tim Robinson, and this is Take It From the TIM, and that's Tim. Today, I'm going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and it's the subject of mental health. In this episode, I will tell you about mental health and a personal story about how it pertains to my life. I want you to like and share this information with others so that they may be blessed with the content.
You should take it from the TIM, and that's Tim. You should take it from the TIM. You should take it from the TIM.
I'm Tim Robinson, and like you have come a long way. I work with around 50 companies and indulge in over 30 revenue-generating opportunities, and I'm ready to share my life's lessons with you. Most I've learned the hard way. Join me at Take It From Tim, where Tim's talking about life, career, relationships, failure, motivation, and some fun product reviews and unboxing. My channel is unscripted, unbiased, and completely raw. Embark on an exciting journey with me as we learn and unlearn together. Ready to take it for the TIM? That's Tim. That's me. Hey, this is Tim Robinson. Looking for affordable life insurance? Get an instant life insurance quote with no medical exams or blood tests starting as low as $7 per month. Visit my website at www.mentormobilitylife.com. At mentormobilitylife.com, we're teaching you how to move forward with your life and the life beyond. That website again is www.mentoringmobility.com. Today I'm going to talk about mental health. And mental health, we have been hearing a lot about it in the news and other venues of media. And I want to stress how important it is to make sure that you personally check on your own mental health, but also be vigilant in those that are around you, sensing when they may be having a mental crisis. And it's for their safety and it's for your safety that mental health is vitally important. As for me, I've never had a problem with seeing a therapist. I think it goes back to being counseled even when I was a child in grade school, all the way through high school. I think by being in that position, it made me aware that it was good to have someone to talk to every now and again regarding situations that you felt that you couldn't handle yourself, or about situations that you did not trust those around you to keep the confidence of what the situation may be. And I believe that it's important that we discuss things that are affecting us, and it doesn't matter what way they're affecting us. If they're affecting us, we should be able to feel comfortable in sharing them with someone that can either just listen to what we have to say, because sometimes it's good just to filter things and someone is there just to listen what you have to say so you can get it from inside of you and not have it bottled up. Sometimes you need someone to listen and also to give you advice or give you options on how to proceed in a situation. And a mental health therapist or psychologist, in most instances, are able to provide that for you. They're able to be a non-biased listening ear that can listen to whatever is going on in your life and whatever situation or circumstance that you're dealing with, whether it's hurt, whether it's pain, and pain can be physical, mentally, or emotionally, or whether, you know, you can go to a therapist for pain management. When you're at a point in life where you have a lot of pain and you tried every type of option to help you to relieve yourself of the pain and it's not going away, sometimes it's good to talk to a therapist regarding that, because you have no idea what pain can do to a person, especially over a long-term period of time, someone having pain. it could really do a lot to the psyche of an individual. So if they had a therapist or someone to talk to, it could help them. Now, your therapist could be someone spiritual. A lot of times you can go to spiritual counseling if you are a person of faith. You can go to a spiritual counselor, and that spiritual counselor possibly could help you to open up and get those things out of you. I know some people may be leery sometimes about going to a spiritual counselor because they may have some things that they may consider dark or things that they may not feel comfortable in sharing with the spiritual counselor, their pastor, because sometimes we have a certain view of holy men and women or people that are in that level of authority in ministry. And sometimes we really shouldn't, but sometimes we put them in a position that they are like on another pedestal that we're not on. And sometimes we're not comfortable in sharing everything that we would like to share with them. I don't know, it's something about judgment and maybe condemnation that makes some people not that easy to share with someone in spiritual capacity. And if that's the case, then you go to someone secular, a regular mental health therapist or counselor, to be able to share things that you don't feel comfortable probably sharing with the man or woman of God. And as I mentioned before, I have gone to mental health therapists before. I have seen value in getting assistance from a mental health therapist. I've seen the ability to reason and to look at situations in a different perspective or light. I've seen sometimes when I may have missed something about the situation or the scenario of the situation, and a mental health provider was able to give me guidance in how to handle the situation. I've cried in front of a mental health therapist, and I purged situations and things inside of me that were bothering me or things that had built up over time that I was not able to release or let go, or things that I was not comfortable sharing with others and maybe felt shame or maybe felt isolation or maybe felt self-loathing. And mental health therapist was able to help me with that. One of the things that happen when you don't seek out and properly get help with your crisis, it can become just that, a crisis. And that crisis could cause you to have a mental health breakdown. And this is the first time I'm publicly addressing this. I did have a mental health breakdown early this year in March of 2023. And that mental health breakdown, I had so many things that came upon me at the same time. And when I was younger, it was easier for me to be able to deal with all of these things that came upon me. But as I got older, my tolerance and ability to fight, you know, that fight and flight feeling and experience that you have, and that youthful invincibility that you feel that you can conquer, you can control everything. But I found myself in a position where I did not have a break, meaning that I was in a situation that I didn't find or did not feel that I had a way out. And it got to the point where it was insurmountable and I wasn't able to break through. And my mental health kicked in and it shut me down. And I remember in the beginning of the situation, once I was in my right mind, as they said, you know, the prodigal son, he came to himself. I had a came to myself moment where it no longer mattered about pride and shame, about discussing these things, because I feel that by discussing these things, I'm able to help someone else that is going through that experience and may feel that they don't have anyone to talk to, and let them know that they are not alone. Before I had this breakdown, I did seek out counseling. My employer has a program, an employees assistance program. I went to the employees assistance program and I was able to connect with a counselor. And as I was talking to my counselor, we were talking about putting myself in a program, which I was considering, but I was hesitant of doing. And then I found myself sort of forced into a program because my mental health had shut down to the point that I was in a desperate situation. I was in a situation that I didn't have suicidal thoughts, but I lost my desire and care to wake up every day. It was like, it was hard. I mean, it was so hard to wake up to another day. And I would say to God, because I am a believer, I would say to God, why did you allow me to even be born? Because I just felt like, you know, all the dreams and the goals and the aspirations that I once had, they no longer had that same meaning. They no longer had that same hold on me. And what I seen in my eyes as my goals and my dreams and my ambitions that I felt were attainable were no longer important. And I did not feel that they were attainable. You know, they say that the graveyard is the richest place in the world because there are many ideas and inventions and works of arts and so many talents that have gone into the graveyard without the ability to share themselves in this forum, to be able to share themselves with the world. And then I thought to myself, well, I have a lot of things written down. I have my poetry, and I probably have about 100 poems that I've written. And I think about how artists are a lot of times not really remembered until they pass on. And I said, well, my poems and my writings, my short stories, and the beginnings of a novel that I've never completed, you know, those things were here. So I'm like, well, if I was not here, then, you know, I still have the ability to leave an impression or an indelible mark on the world and generations because of the things that God has inspired me to write that I've written. So I figured that some part of my life would not be in vain. And then I felt a feeling of not being liked, not being loved. I thought about all the times that I felt like I was being used and was indeed being used by people that I thought were my friends and even people that were my family. I felt that my family were treating me indifferently, that I was totally different because we are all different. But I realized that as I started noticing things, I realized that some of my differences was because I had more exposure to life and being around different cultures and different types of people than my siblings. It took a long time to realize that we did not think alike because we had different stimuli. We had different life experiences, and my life experience that took me a lot of places that my siblings had not gone. So I had a different mindset than that of my siblings. And I always used to wonder when I was growing up, you know, Lord, why am I here? Why am I in this environment? Why am I with these people? Because that's the way that I looked at them, because I did not see a commonality between my siblings and myself. I didn't think like them. I didn't act like them. I didn't react like them. It's like some people seem to be satisfied with whatever life gives them from day to day. And that's wonderful if you're one of those people. But there are some of us that can see a vision ahead of us that is well beyond those that are surrounding us at a particular moment. Now, I had to tell my godson at one time that you can't do this journey alone. You have to have support. You have to have others around you that is able to sometimes help you up or make you believe in yourself in those days and those times and those moments when you actually do not believe in your own self. And I was finding myself as the one that was able to encourage and to inspire and to support those that were around me. But I found myself at a position that I wasn't getting the same type of encouragement and support that I was giving. And then was at a point in my life where I desperately needed it, and I wasn't getting it. And I was wondering, why? Lord, why? Why can't I get what I need? Because I need it now. And I'm human. I'm only human. And I still wasn't getting that. And those that were around me did not have the same thought patterns as I had. So they were not in a position to be able to be a resource for me. And being a single person out in this world and not having a companion or anyone with that real close connection or relationship with, I didn't have someone that I could go and talk to. And then those that were in my family, in that relation, those relationships, I was at a position where I did not trust them to share information, because I had found in my life that information sometimes that I shared with them was either shared with others, or sometimes it was thrown back at me in a dispute or a heated argument. So I lost complete trust of my family. So a therapist to me was the next choice. It was the best choice, and it was the right choice for me. I think going through my breakdown was, looking back, a wonderful and pivotal time, because I was enrolled in a program through a mental health institution that allowed me to see things differently. And from that program, I was stepped down to a second program, and that program pretty much confirmed what I learned in the first program, but gave me more practical skills of utilizing the information and trying to learn how to cope with situations and not to be so overwhelmed and overbearing by situations. Another thing that was really bothering me is that my house had gotten to a point of total disarray. And that was one of the things that caused my mental health to go through a breakdown, because I was at a point in my life where things were put upon me to be gentle with it at a time when I wasn't expecting them. And when these things were put in on me, not in front of me, but on me, I never had an opportunity to filter, to process, to develop a plan of action, to change the dynamics. I just seen just this overwhelming burden of how am I going to be able to do this. And from that, I went into the Great Depression. And depression was every time when I felt I had energy and I wanted to start and I wanted to begin to get things together, I found myself just going to sleep. I slept a lot, and I didn't eat that much. I started to lose weight. And I would get off of work around 3:30 if we did not do overtime. If I got off of work at 3:30, a lot of times I would be in bed by 4:30 if I didn't have anything planned. And sometimes I would sleep all the way through to the next day when it's time to go to work. And that was becoming my life. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I may get me something to eat or something, because most times I miss the meal. And I would go back to sleep. I had a lot of time of just, like I said, I had a very gloom and doom feeling of wanting this thing called life to be over. And I felt that whatever good I have done, or thought I've done, or presumed I've done, was not any value anymore. I didn't have any value. I lost complete value. Those that I thought would be support that would help me in the situation, especially because some people that are close to me, I called out to because I could feel a change was happening within me. And I called out to these people and I told them that I felt that I was on the verge of having a breakdown before I had a breakdown, because I know that I seem to have been losing control of a lot of things. And I just, boom, one day it happened. And I found myself hospitalized for this. And I had a TIA with this at the same time. For those of you that don't know what a TIA is, a mini stroke. And this wasn't the first one. This was one of three that I've had. And so I had this TIA, and I had to go to see neurologists. And I thank God, because He has brought me through these things. I was sent home from the hospital with a walker that I still have, that I just didn't have my gait, which is my balance. I couldn't control my balance. I would tip over, or I would walk into things like the wall. It was a period that I didn't talk, or wouldn't talk, or was stuttering when I did talk. So when I was released from the hospital, I received a speech therapist. I received a physical therapist. I received an occupational therapist. And I received a mental health, I already had a mental health therapist, but I also received a psychiatrist to assign medications to me. And that really bothered me. That was another stressor, because I just never wanted to be on any types of medicine. And I don't like nothing to control me. I couldn't see myself on drugs. And thankfully, you know, not in a good way, but I did drugs when I was in high school and right out of high school. So I had my taste of drugs, and I did not want something to control me. I don't like being controlled. I feel that I am a human, I am a man, and I am a man, meaning that I'm going to control. It's not going to control me. I don't like anything to control me. I've had people to tell me that they see within my personality that I'm strong and a controller. And it bothers me sometimes, because I don't want to be labeled as a certain type of controller. And sometimes you try to change your ways so you can be able to fit in with other people. But I never fit in. I was always a square block trying to go into a round hole. I never really fit in. I've learned how to smile and how to be friendly. This being friendly is just naturally my personality. That's who God made me to be. I'm very social. I talk to people. I encourage people. I smile. So when you don't see my smile, you would know that something is wrong. So it's important to be mindful of yourself and your mental health. It's also important to be mindful of those around you. If you see somebody that is changing or has changed, or something's just not right about them, try to gauge them in a conversation, but do it delicately and do it in a way that it's without offense, so the person won't get offended. A way that they will feel that you're talking to them out of love and compassion, and they will be willing to open up with you and to you because the fact of your approach. You know, your approach is important. It is vitally important on how you approach people, how you come off to people, how they perceive you. Because if someone perceives you in a manner that you're not threatening and you're coming to them in a way of love and compassion, they'll be more willing to open up to you. And your job is not to counsel them, because unless you are licensed, and most counselors do not counsel their friends and family, your job is to point them into the right direction for those that can help them. A lot of companies have employees assistance programs. There's a lot of other free resources. There's some low-cost resources that can help as well. But the mental health has to be addressed, because just like I said, my thought was not to hurt or harm myself, but I lost the will to live. But there's some that losing the will to live is not enough for them. They actually will try to hurt or harm themselves. So make sure that you support those that may be going through a mental health crisis. Make sure that you keep your mental health in check and pay attention. I'm going to be sharing a lot about mental health in the next few podcasts. I'm going to share some stories about when I was in a mental health state of desiring to commit suicide, and what I did to try to carry that out, and the intervention that God did to allow me to still be here today, because I actually made the step in that direction at that time. And when I tell you the story, it's going to be supernatural favor, and it shows you how God saved me. So until the next podcast, I'm going to let you go. I want you to share this podcast with others, and I'm going to put a part on here where you can leave comments or expressions, and I'll be glad to come back in and to listen to and to comment on what you comment on. Until next time. Hey, have you started saving real money yet? No, not that fiat currency. I said real money. Money of the gods. I'm talking about silver and gold. And you can save it incrementally by saving just 1 ounce of silver per month. Why not set it up automatically to come to you so you know for sure that you have it? And only 1 ounce of silver per month, you will be surprised at what it will give you and your family now and in generations to come. Visit www.isavesilver.com and set up your silver and gold account today. Again, that website is www.isavesilver.com. Remember, this is the money of the gods. Thanks for giving me your greatest asset, which is your time, and joining me in this episode. Look at the library of episodes that have passed, and stay tuned for episodes to come. Again, thank you. See you soon.